Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's annoying when I watch the movie nowadays because I usually watch it with somebody who has like never seen it or, you know, and I'm just the most annoying person because there's so many details in the film that I'm constantly looking over going, did you catch that? Did you see what just happened? And then I'm like, oh, okay, hold on. Fanatics. Ooh. Everyone's got their thing.
Fanatics. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir? Okay, I'm not really asking that. I'm just more excited about today's topic, Moulin Rouge. But before we get there, I am one of your hosts, David Magadoff, and with me is my most effervescent, wonderful, blonde-haired beauty, Miss Claire Kramer. Hi, Claire.
Hi, David. How are you doing today?
Very excited because we just had a wonderful conversation with Miss Samantha Hanratty, who you know from so many things. Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, Pushing Daisies, Salem, Shameless, and most importantly, Showtime's Yellow Jackets.
She's your Showtime sister show of Dexter New Blood.
We were back to back, but she's Misty. She's the young Misty on the show, the younger Christina Ricci, or rather Christina Ricci is the older Samantha Hanratty, if you will. But she's an absolute delight and she loves Moulin Rouge.
So this is a super fun episode because I love musicals and you love musicals, David. And Samantha, talking about Moulin Rouge, was like just a really great time. But what a great person she is also. So sweet.
And such a good actress. Gosh, Yellow Jackets, everybody. What a hit. It's fun when Dexter was coming on that there was this other show called Yellow Jackets that they were kind of putting it next to. And I was watching it and I kept telling everybody, I'm like, this is the show, guys. Like, don't get me wrong. I really liked being on Dexter and I think it was a great show.
I'm glad you were on Dexter.
yeah, that helps. But Yellow Jackets was just this fun, interesting Lord of the Flies with a teenage girl traveling soccer team in the middle of the woods, and it was all sorts of humor and all sorts of dark and great, great female actresses. And Samantha is just this wonderful actress. She's so talented. She's so charming playing this younger version of Christina Ricci as Misty. I don't want to give away any plot, but guys, you gotta, if you haven't subscribed to Showtime yet or pulled it off your friend's app or shared it from your mom's cable bill, it's totally worth it. It is a total joy. It is refreshing. It's interesting as fuck.
And she's phenomenal. She plays the baddie. And I love when nice people play baddies. I mean, I kind of like originated that, I think.
That's right,
I'm just
Claire.
Kidding, but
that's right, Claire. And before you listen to this episode, please like and subscribe and 5 stars our wonderful podcast. Guys, we are so appreciative. It takes a e-village out there, my friends. And we love doing this and we love doing it for you and we love that you love it. And now, without further ado, Moulin Rouge and Samantha Hanratty. I don't know if this is a fair question, but I'm just going to shoot from the hip from the start. Ewan McGregor or Nicole Kidman?
Oh, that's not a fair question. That actually makes me want to leave the podcast right now.
yeah, how can she pick? They're both amazing.
Two totally different. But you know what? I'm going to say Ewan McGregor right now just because he stole my heart. And I'm literally engaged to a guy named Christian. And I think it's because he played Christian.
Wow. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, Samantha.
Okay. For people who have not figured it out by those hints of Ewan and Nicole and the name Christian, today Samantha is on Fanatics to talk about her love of Moulin Rouge, the movie, the Baz Luhrmann movie. And for anyone who has never seen it, obviously it came out 2001, I believe. But, you know, there may be someone out there listening who has not seen it. Give us an umbrella overview of why you love this cinematic piece
so much. May I dart in and just say, for the Martian who lives on Earth, can you just say, what is Moulin Rouge?
Okay. I'm going to do my best. Okay. Moulin Rouge is a tragic love story with the most exciting and incredible pieces of music. It's a musical, and it's literally the most heartbreaking, beautiful story of all time. It's about a writer, a penniless writer who falls in love with the sparkling diamond. I guess you guys want to know. He falls in love with the lady of the night, and she can never be in love with somebody because she's not allowed to. But then of course she does, and she falls in love, and it's very complicated. I feel like I'm doing it so bad already. I'm already like just flustered and sweating.
No, it's so good. You're doing great. Okay, good. It's not a high pressure situation.
Okay.
Because you know what I mean? It's you love it for different reasons than the person next door loves the movie. We want to know about your love for it, Samantha, not anyone else. So
I have to say, I mean, the first time I ever saw the movie, I was like 6 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's not appropriate for six-year-olds, for parents out there wondering if their kids should watch this. It's not. And I remember it so vividly because, like, my parents kept having to, like, earmuffs me. But they, for some reason, still thought it was, like, totally fine for me to watch it. So I have growing views of this movie, because when I started watching it, I was like, it's just great. And then as I got older, I'm like, oh my God, no. Like, it's like scarily fantastic. There's a whole sequence in the movie during one of the musical pieces that basically tells the entire story of the movie, but it's like all hidden. And it's just every time you watch it, you get new Easter eggs, and it's, oh, fantastic.
Do you remember you were 6 years old? Did you see it on TV? Did your mom pop it in? What was the, how did the press play moment happen?
It was on TV. It was New Year's Eve night. I had my little Happy New Year's crown on, and we were sitting in our living room, and I remember everyone's like, Happy New Year. And my mom looks over, and I am sobbing, like uncontrollably crying. And this was before, like, we had a computer, but, like, the internet wasn't the easiest thing to access. So she was like, no, like that's an actress. Her name's Nicole Kidman. Like, she's okay. And I'm like, no, she's not. Like, I saw her, and I was like, and he's crying, and I'm crying. And I'm like, she's not okay, Mom. And, like, I was just like, he's never gonna love again. And my mom's like, it's okay. These are actors. And I think that's genuinely like the moment that I was like, this is my career. So it's really shaped all of who I am. I even have a tattoo of for the movie.
What does it say?
You know, it says, come what may.
I love that.
Yeah.
Can you sing all the songs?
Yes.
Can you put on the soundtrack and go through start to finish?
Yes.
I love that.
I can. And I cry every time. I think I pretend that I'm in the movie a lot of times. And so there's the final song, and they're singing Come What May. And every time I always do the, like, when she's like, she like kind of like falls and stuff like that. And then she's like, I will love you. And like every time I do it so dramatic. When I'm driving on the, you know, 405, you can see me. And if there's tears falling down and I'm like, got my eyes closed. No, I don't have my eyes closed.
But well, the 405 goes that down, slowly, you know, that you can have your eyes closed, Samantha. It's okay.
True.
Is there something about singing that opens up a different part of you as an artist emotionally?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I'm not a great singer. I wouldn't even consider myself a good singer. But I enjoy it, and I have fun with it. And I think it's just, yeah, it's like that actor brain in me. But then when I open it up to like the singing world, it's just, there's so much more emotion that comes up. Like most actors that I know will put like headphones in and listen to a song when they have to do like a really sad scene or, you know, an emotional scene. It's like music has such a way of pulling out these emotions in us. It can make you so happy and it can make you so nostalgic. And for me, like, that's one of, I will listen to Come What May if it comes to a really emotional scene that I have to do.
The story could be told without music, but it would not be the same story, correct?
No, not at all. And like, oh my God, could you imagine a world where we don't get to hear their voices? Like, that would be a crime. Like, yeah, Baz Luhrmann knew what he was doing.
And who would have thought? Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman. Like, that was not like, oh yeah, the great singers of our generation. Right. It was like, they're in a musical. They were probably the first people that sort of made it okay to be like, yeah, the actor can sing. And then you'd started to see, you know, I'm from Chicago with Catherine Zeta-Jones. And all of a sudden you're like, yeah, anyone, Renee Zellweger. You're like, you know what? Let's try these people out. Because if Nicole and Ewan can do it, anyone can do it. And not anyone can do it, but they could do it. So that was cool.
Yeah. And you could tell they worked hard. Yes. You know?
You can tell they worked hard for sure. Do you listen to their music all the time, like every day or once a week? Or how does that probably play out on your iPod shuffle?
I go through my emotions. It's like through my moods. You know what I mean? So it's like if I'm in a happy place, I probably shouldn't put this soundtrack on. But it's usually, you know, maybe like, yeah, I'd say like once a month, I will just like binge it. For like, you know, for like a day or like a couple of days. But then I'm like, okay, I need a second, you know. It's also like I listen to a couple of the songs when I'm cleaning. It's like my cleaning go-to, you know. I don't like to clean, but if I'm going to, I might as well listen to some Moulin
Rouge. Greatest soundtrack of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So when you say to you that it's the greatest love story of all time, which is so wonderful, because for many people, it is. But what? Why that and not, you know, like Casablanca or West Side Story? Or like, is it just because you think maybe that you saw it? It was the very first one you saw at 6 years old and it sticks to you? Or is it something about their story that just hits you?
Yeah, I think I just have never seen somebody love somebody so much the way that Christian loves Satine, that I think that like it was just... That, yeah, like that first, like, oh my gosh, like a man can love a woman that much. Because I always like grew up, I feel like where the girl is like, oh, like, you know, swooning. But it was the first time I saw like a
Disney
man
princess.
Swooning.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just like, just, oh my God. And I mean, the acting is so incredible and so amazing. But yeah, I'd never seen that before happen where this guy's whole world has become this woman and he loves her and he, you know, at times is maybe a tiny bit obsessed, but you know, he's literally like going mad. And I think, like I said, different ages, I've had different relations to the film. I relate to it in so many different ways. Like, I would hate to say that I feel like her at any point, but I will say it is weird. You know, I'm in a weird industry where sometimes, you know, we have to do things that we don't love. I've, you know, had to kiss people on set. And sometimes I'm like, oh my God, like I'm Satine. Like, this is so, this is so crazy. And then I'm like, I don't want to, you know, but whatever. I won't get too deep into it. But yeah, but he loves her so much. And when he's hurt, I've never seen hurt like that before. And then just seeing how much she loves him. And it's just, yeah, it felt so real and so raw. And I had seen so many cookie cutter versions of like what love looked like. And that was the first film, and to me still the best film, to show how crazy love really can be.
Mm-hmm. And how circumstances don't necessarily play into emotions and feelings and can usurp them, I think.
Yeah.
What is the difference, Samantha, between when you watch the movie, play the soundtrack, or I don't know if you've had the chance to see like a live stage version of Moulin Rouge, but tell me the three different, like the differences for you and what mood puts you in which scenario. The third obviously being the most hard or most difficult to see a production in real life, but the soundtrack or the movie, how do you decide?
I think it's annoying when I watch the movie nowadays because I usually watch it with somebody who has like never seen it or, you know, and I'm just the most annoying person because there's so many details in the film that I'm constantly looking over going, did you catch that? Did you see what just happened? And then I'm like, oh, okay, hold on. I gotta like rewind it. And like, you're not allowed to be on your phone if we're watching it. Like, so I think watching it, you know, can be kind of annoying with me sometimes.
I love that you have rules though. I love it.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I do. And I'm constantly trying to look for the other, you know, Easter eggs that I haven't seen yet. And I'm trying to now look at, you know, just all of the people in the background, because seriously, when I say that everyone is so committed to this film, like, it is crazy to me that they got so many people who are so talented that you can just see them in the background and they, like, you know, there's a guy who has, like, sweat pouring down him because he's been dancing all night, and it's just incredible to me. So, yeah, I love watching all the little details. But then, yeah, seeing it live, I went and saw in Vegas, I had a friend doing Baz, and it was Moulin Rouge and Romeo Juliet and Great Gatsby, like, all together. And so it was more just like, to see it live was just so fun. Like, it was a lot more fun. I didn't like get like emotional watching it because I just was like more excited and happy, I guess. So I feel like it's more intimate watching the movie, and I feel so much more like somber and ready to just cry and laugh and, you know, feel all the things. But like when I'm out and about, I'm definitely wanting to like just have a good time, not cry in front of strangers, you know. And then yeah, and then if I'm listening to the soundtrack, it's always a hit or miss. I have to either skip certain songs if I don't want to cry, mm-hmm. or I just let myself go.
Or you go all in, just all like, yes. Emotional
which
cleanse.
I usually do. Yeah.
That's like me with Les Miserables. That's my jam with music.
See, now I'm a terrible person and you're going to be probably upset. I went and saw Les Mis in New York on Broadway and I fell asleep.
It's long, Samantha.
We'll talk about that later,
long.
Samantha.
No, here's the thing.
Sorry.
I've seen it a number of times and I can be Team Claire and I can be Team Samantha on this because I get why people think it's just the longest, slowest thing, because it is. But then I also get the Claire team where it's like, this is the greatest epic story of our time. And I mean, can you even? I get it.
To be fair, I didn't know that it was all like music. So I went into it being like, where's the talking? You know?
When are they going to start speaking?
Yeah. So, you know, but I, as an adult, I have to go and watch it. I'll give it a shot.
I'll take you sometime. We can have a little date because I always love seeing it again. Let me ask you this. What is like the number one Easter egg in Moulin Rouge? Like, what is the most like drilled down exclusive little surprise you've found?
I mean, I guess it's I feel like it's not even that big of like a surprise. But how many times you're told throughout the film that like she's going to die is kind of crazy. But like, yet somehow it's still so shocking when it happens, you know, like the first very beginning, he literally is writing at his typewriter and he's like, the love of my life, she's dead. So there's that. And we know that. But then in this song, when they're like, so exciting, you know, and then he's like, shall somebody die? And they all kind of just look at each other and mm-hmm. then like keep like going with the song. I just think that that's so interesting how many times they added that. But yet whenever I show somebody the movie, they have the same expression I always had, which is just pure shock that it's actually happened. I think that that's just such a an interesting thing that they can tell you something throughout an entire story. And you can be so drawn in, yet so blindsided at the same time, you know? And I think it's because in film, we're taught that, like, the main character doesn't usually die. Like, usually, you know, they end up being okay. And yeah, even though you were told it over and over and over again, it still hits you, you know? And my favorite reaction is always whenever I show one of my girlfriends the movie, wait, she died? And I'm like, yeah, she's literally dead right there.
It's like, it's not a joke.
I'm crying. Why else would I be crying?
I can so relate to introducing friends to, like, films that I love. And I end up watching them, like, out of excitement almost more than I do the movie. And I'm wondering if you have that same experience.
And how many people have you introduced it to? And more specifically, what was Christian's thoughts when he first saw it? Because I'm sure that was a big litmus test for you.
Yeah, it was. So I've shown the film to, if I have to be totally honest, probably around like 15 to 20 people.
That's a solid number of people.
But it's also been like a viewing party. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've done it where, like, I've had like four people over who've never seen it before at a time. And my two friends that are in the living room right now that are actually on my show Yellow Jackets, they're literally staying with me this week. And on my birthday, while I was filming our show, that was my one request, is that we watch Moulin Rouge.
I love it.
And that's kind of like my birthday thing. I like to have somebody who's never seen it watch it with me, or who has, it doesn't really matter. And then, yeah, it was kind of like a test. I feel like growing up, I feel bad for saying this, but, like, you know, Christian's not the first guy I watched the movie with. It was almost like a test. Like, if this hits you, if you feel something, then you're a decent person.
Did the real Christian feel something?
Yes. So, yes. And I honestly need to talk to him more about it. I think it was in the beginning of us dating, and I knew I loved him at that time, and I was really... was really emotional watching it. And so I feel like I was so focused in on my own world that I still, like, haven't really sat down and been like, so what did you really think of the movie? Because I think I, like, overdid it. I knew I loved him. I think I may have even, like, told him that week that I loved him, which he didn't say back, which, you know, we're engaged now, so
it's all good. It's fine, now,
but, you know, I'm watching it and I didn't even put two and two together that, like, his name is Christian and he's Christian. And when she's, like, talking to him and she's saying, like, Christian, the way she says it, I was like, I'm going to start calling him, like, Christian, like that, you know? And, like, just the whole thing, I was so, like, into it and looking at him and so, like, in my head that, yeah, I know he liked it. In fact, I think he loved it, but we need to watch it again. And me not, like, being, you know, and me focusing on him and seeing how he's taking it in. But he's also in film school, so he, like, watches movies to appreciate them as well, you know? Mm-hmm. So
what would he say if we asked him about your love of Moulin Rouge?
I think he'd say I have a strange obsession. And I would tell him he's right.
And that's okay. Ding, ding,
ding. Yeah, and that's okay. I have, like, four more quotes from the movie that I want to get on my body. My mom's like, no more tattoos. And I'm like, but Moulin Rouge, mom.
Duh. What are the other quotes?
I mean, the best quote is, the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. And that's one that, like, that used to be my Instagram bio. Like, it literally was, like, my way of life. And it still is my way of life. I think it's the most beautiful quote ever. And then for some reason, I always thought it would be fun to just have, like, a random quote in there. And it's just, Christian, he's trying to kill you. But then now I'm, like, engaged to a Christian, so I was just like, oh, maybe not. But, like, you know, just, like, little things like that, if that would be fun. The sitar player, or, like, getting, like, a sitar. I don't know.
Samantha, I gotta just ask, because Enneagram, yeah? Enneagram? Are you an Enneagram too?
I get them so confused. So, yes, I'm a two wing. Is it the wing ones?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a two wing
three. That's me, girl. And Claire. We nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because twos are all about love. Okay. For all of you people, you kind of seen a through line in this podcast. I bring up the Enneagram a lot. Go to Keiko Agena's podcast episode and please deep dive with us on the Enneagram. But it's this great personality test that breaks down all humans into nine sort of categories and numbers. And anyway, every number has its own thing. Enneagram twos tend to be very obsessed, thoughtful, and embrace love. So the fact that you just keep talking about how this means so much to you, I love that. I love that we nailed it. And that's how I feel. And that's Claire too. We're all two wing threes right here. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I love
very
it.
Very sweet.
Oh, look at me. I love it.
I know. I love it too. I didn't know about the Enneagram until we did the podcast. So I'm new to it.
Really? I did it a long time ago, and I guess when you're like an unhealthy number, like twos, I think when they're unhealthy,
eight.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so when I took the test a couple of years ago, I was an eight, and I was like, I don't know if this is me, you know, whatever. And then when I took it, you know, later on in life, I was like, okay, this makes sense. And not saying if you're an eight out there, you are great just the way you are. I was the unhealthy version of that.
Girl, I'm with you. Don't get me hangry.
Exactly.
How many times have you watched this movie, if you had a guess? I mean, just throw a number out there.
I don't know if she can count.
Yeah, I don't. Honestly, I don't know, because I'm like, I don't know if I've ever started the film and not finished it all the way through. I know there's people that like can start a film and like fall asleep to it or like turn it off. I don't consider that watching it. You know, I don't consider that a watch. And if I put it on, I have to.
That's a comfort watch. That's like a comfort.
Yeah, moment. Yeah. I don't. I mean, this sounds bad, but I don't necessarily watch Moulin Rouge to feel comfortable. I watch it when I like want to feel something. You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because otherwise, like, there's not a single time I've ever watched it where I didn't cry, not once. So probably, if I had to guess, I'm like, I'm 26 now, 20 years of watching the film. I'd probably say, God, what's 3 times 20?
60.
60. So probably I'd say roughly around 60 times, if I had to say roughly.
A lot.
And do you have any desire to go to the Moulin Rouge in Paris?
Ooh. Yes.
Okay. Yes, I have been, and it is crazy.
Is it? Oh, my gosh.
It's crazy because you walk up on it and it's like just there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy. You have to go.
I used to have a poster of the Moulin Rouge like up in my room. And yeah, I definitely have always wanted to go. I used to have like kind of a love-hate relationship with Paris, mm-hmm. just because when I was younger, an ex of mine went there and then we broke up and I was like, oh, I'm never going to Paris. And then I was mm-hmm. like, wait, but that's where the Moulin Rouge is. And then I was like, no, love will prevail. I will go to see the Moulin Rouge. So yeah, now I definitely want to go and see it.
I think it adds even more depth once you have been there in
person. I reclaim Perry.
Yes, absolutely.
What would you say about a remake? Is this a horrible idea?
That they better cast me. That's all I have to say. If it's going to happen, I better be in it. That's it. Otherwise, it can't happen.
Yeah, you're like, no. I'm now an actress of age. This is happening. Yeah, what role? Would it be Satine?
Baz would have to do it. Yes, I would be Satine. Yes.
Own it.
Yeah, no questions asked.
Clearly.
Yeah. I'm already working on my vocals over here. But yeah, and then Baz would have to do it. Otherwise, it just would be a big no for me. Yeah.
This is kind of like a in the future hypothetical question. Let's say one day you do choose to have children or adopt children, whatever. Would you ever consider naming one of your children after a character in the movie?
That is a great question. I already have my kids' names picked out because I'm a psycho who already is so prepared.
Tell me. I want to hear them.
Oh, okay.
Claire has four lovely children, so this is fun for her and for
okay.
me.
So nobody out there steal my kids' names. I'm just kidding. You can. It doesn't matter.
I'm done. So
we've got Elias Cade DeAnda. We've got River Nava DeAnda.
I have a river.
She has a river.
Do you? Oh, my gosh. I love that.
My 12-year-old daughter.
Oh, my God. I love it. I love it so much. It's one of my favorite names. I always knew when I was younger that I want one of my kids' names to be River.
Okay. And then what's the third?
Lyra James DeAnda. Yeah, so that's what we have in mind right now. But I also want like 6 kids, so we'll see what happens.
Well, I had 4. I'll pass along the one name I've never got to use, which I think is super cute. You would like to play with it, Briar.
Yes, that is beautiful. Oh, and that's so cute because my dad's name is Brian. So I feel like he would really like that little
Briar. Yes. Cute. Okay. Anyway, we've gotten way off topic. Back to Moulin Rouge.
Oh, I'm loving this. I'm just picturing Christian listening to this podcast going, how many kids?
He hears it every night. So he knows. I know. In my head, I'm like, I want to birth two and adopt two. That's kind of where I'm at right now. We'll see what ends up happening. But, you know,
very
we'll
exciting. The music mashups. Before we finish this podcast up, let's just music mashups. Did this turn you on to music mashups beyond Moulin Rouge? Because this was a really major moment for the idea of music mashups as a very popular thing. So do you just sort of enjoy it in Moulin Rouge? Will you seek out music mashups of songs beyond the movie?
I think it just depends on the film, and it depends on if it works in the film, you know? I love watching something and being like, oh my God, I know this song, you know? I'm a big soundtrack fan outside of Moulin Rouge. My, like, all-time favorite Disney film is Tarzan. Purely, I mean, for many reasons, but also because the soundtrack,
you'll be in my heart.
You know?
You'll be in my heart.
Yeah. Oh my God. I know. That's something I'm going to be singing to my kids. Like, that's the song that I have in my head to sing to my children. But I think it really, it can be so hit or miss, because if it's done well, then I'm like all about it. I think that's why I watched Glee back in the day, was because I was like, I love this music. I know this song, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, I'm not going to lie, I kind of preferred the Glee version over the OGs, which is not a very popular opinion, and I'm sorry for all the people who have offended out there.
Since you saw it so young, I'm guessing some things went over your head. You know, is that true? But did you later realize that you didn't see at the time, maybe?
I think there were things that I was such a innocent child, and I was such a prude. I was like, which is so funny that this became my favorite film, because when I was younger, like if I saw two people kissing that were not in like a committed relationship and married, I was like, oh my God, like they're gonna have kids and like little, I don't know. I just like freaked out. I was a very extra child. I have four older sisters and literally was just like the biggest tattletale and the worst. But I watched Moulin Rouge and Titanic at a very young age. And I guess, I don't know, like I went into this imaginary world where everything that they did was just okay. Like I was fine with it for some reason. And so I knew what was happening, but I think I was more focused on the love story than I was about like anything with the, you know, with sex. And I know my mom had me close my eyes during the scene with the Duke and Satine. And I'm glad she did, because even nowadays that scene can be really, really just hard to watch and really, really heartbreaking to see. So yeah, that wasn't until I got older that I really realized like what he was doing in that scene and how serious the situation was. I think I just knew she was in danger just because she was with the Duke. I didn't really have to know the context at that time, you know?
We hit on so many things today, and it makes my heart so happy. I love asking this, and we definitely knocked on some of these doors. I'm just curious if maybe there's another door behind the door. So for instance, I really adore the Fantastic Four. That's one. There's a few topics if I were ever to be on my own podcast. And as I got older in life, I realized that I learned about the Fantastic Four when I was around 12, was when my parents got divorced. And so that I realized later in life, I was like, oh, sure, I love comic books and superheroes, but I think I love that they were a family that stayed together and fought together during a time when my family was coming apart. So I realized they were kind of filling a kind of a hole there. And I was like, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. If I could ask that question to you about Moulin Rouge, do you think there's anything that's coming up for you of like, oh, you know, now that I think about it, I think I really like this movie for ...
Yeah, I think the older that I got, I've been in a lot of unhealthy relationships in my life. And I think that it's one of those movies that I always went to remind myself that love exists and love is real. And, you know, the quote, the greatest thing you ever learn is just to love and be loved in return, is I am somebody who can give so much love. And I feel like I always held on to the hope that like there is somebody who's going to give me the love that I deserve back in return. And like my Christian is out there. And so I think, through all the difficulties, you know, you And it's also, it's through the heartbreak of the film, like, I think you leave the film, even though it's so heartbreaking and sad, once he's written their story, you just, I feel like I get a sense of, like, he's going to be okay. And I think that that also gets me, because, like, I'm like, he's literally faced the most tragic thing of his life, and yet, like, he's continuing to tell their story, and he's not letting, like, their story and their love die the way, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's, like, it's to continue. So there's a lot of things I love about the film, but I think those are ones that I just always held on to that helped me through becoming a young adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Very sweet. All right, speaking of love, would you be so kind to regale us with a love letter to your favorite film of all time?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh, dear Moulin Rouge, thank you. Thank you for the laughs, the excitement, the dreams that you filled me with, for helping me through the difficult times, for filling me with so much love and so much heart, and reminding me of what I deserve. I appreciate you and I love you, and I can't wait to watch you again. Love, Samantha.
Love, Samantha. I love it. Yay.
Samantha, that was lovely. Really, genuinely. Thank you.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I think the last time I fully watched Moulin Rouge was when it came out, like in the early 2000s. And now I feel like I say this at the end of every podcast, but I do want to go watch it again. I really do. I think that for me, singing definitely taps into a different like area of emotion. Like also when I dance, you know, I was a dancer for many years. I love dancing. I love ballet was really my thing, my jazz, not to, you know, confuse two styles. But when I danced, I was able to be freer than acting. And yeah, if there is a remake, fine, she can play the lead, but I'll play like someone else in it.
You can be Ewan McGregor.
I can be Ewan McGregor.
It's just so charming, right, Claire? Just when you, again, this podcast, when we get a guest and they just are so into something and it's just so contagious in the best way. I mean, Samantha absolutely beyond loves Moulin Rouge. I'm with you. Last time I saw it was when it came out, and that was a while ago. And now totally got the itch. I totally want to throw it on. I want to kind of see it through her eyes. Isn't it fun to just hear someone love something so much and you just wish you could see it through their eyes? And I think hopefully this is what this podcast does sometimes. You're just like, yeah, I guess it's possible to be so enthralled with something the way these people are. It is forever makes me happy.
Well, definitely. And, you know, I mentioned this during the show, but the part where you're like introducing someone to the, you know, she said she's introduced her friends and had like watching parties. And my thing is like, if I've seen a movie a bunch of times, like, for example, I've seen Inception a bunch of times. I love that
movie.
I have also seen like Beautiful Mind a bunch of times. Those are like in my top five movies. So both those movies, when I'm watching with someone, I want to like see their reaction. However, if I've read the book, like for example, when The Martian came out, and I'm a big Andy Weir fan, and I read that book like three times before the movie came out, I felt like I kept having to stop and say, okay, what you're missing is actually there's this whole big moment that happened in between the last scene, and this is why Matt Damon's doing all this stuff. And you're like, I felt like the movie wasn't explicit enough. It didn't give enough detail. And so I completely related to what Samantha was saying about, you know, watching her friends and wanting to pause and be like, did you catch that? Did you catch that? Because that is totally me in those moments.
Claire, do you have that movie that you need to show people? Because I do. I'm curious
what?
If you
What's
do.
Yours?
Mine is Young Frankenstein. Sarah, God bless her, she had to watch Young Frankenstein. Every girl I ever dated, just like Samantha, she just threw it to every boy. I just needed to know, like, if you like Young Frankenstein, you're cool with me. It is the greatest comedy of all time. Gene Wilder, Mel Brooks. Black and white, my friends. Black and white. It is just the best. So witty, ridiculous, boofy, silly, and yet so smart. So, but that was a litmus test and still is to this day.
Yeah, I don't know if I have that movie, but I did at one point in my life. this is a throwback. When I was younger, I wanted everyone to watch Heathers with me. And if they liked Heathers, then they were in my inner circle. I didn't have a great time in high school. I had a great boyfriend. I had great friends, but I didn't have like the best high school experience. And so I connected to that movie and the Winona Ryder, Christian Slater characters. And I was like, okay, if you understand this movie and you can watch this with me and like it, then we will be friends.
Well, guess what? I've not seen it. And hopefully we can be friends, Claire.
Well, yes. I've moved on to different stages in my life, David.
Good.
I'm in a different place. I got to think about what my movie litmus test is now. That's a good question. I'll get back to you on that.
It's a fun one. It's a fun one to think, like, what if at the end of the day, someone you had to judge everything, everything about their personality and your relationship with them on one film, what would it be?
I mean, it could be Beautiful Mind. It could be Inception. Yeah. It could be...
Inception, you can learn a lot about a person if they don't like it or they're what they think about it.
Right,
or
like critical thinking and like abstract thinking, and do they understand like what the architect really does, and can they see the layers of the dreams? You know, I really am obsessed with... When Tenet came out, I really watched that over and over, and I was upset I couldn't go see that in the theater, but fortunately I have a big enough TV that I turned out all the lights and, you know, kind of pretended.
Guys, thanks so much for joining us today on this wonderful podcast. Hopefully someone is not forcing you to watch Tenet to see if you are a good friend.
Except me.
Except for Claire. But it is a fantastic movie. And if you don't know what happens, that's okay. I don't even think we do, but we loved it. So just remember to like and subscribe, all the wonderful things. And we will see you next Thursday for another rousing podcast.
Woohoo!
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, before we let you guys go, I want to tell you about next week's guest. Yes, a little teaser, if you will. Miss Molly Gray. You know her from so many things. I'll name a few. So You Think You Can Dance, Teen Beach Movie 2, Free Period, High School Musical 3, Senior Year, A Night to Regret, The Reliant Guys, Pride House. That's definitely how you know her today. We are thrilled to have her on to talk about the thing that she's thrilled about, Vanderpump Rules. Yeah, the reality show that just makes you happy. And it makes her very happy. How happy? Check it out next Thursday. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at @WeAreFanatics.
Yes, that's We Are Fanadicts. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
Samantha, you're a hero whenever you watch Moulin Rouge. You're always a hero when you watch Moulin Rouge. And Christian finally proposed to you. Oh, Samantha, j'adore Moulin Rouge.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.